Yes, indeed. Welcome to the show. It's Wrestling Uncensored. We just watched SmackDown. Sami Zayn wins a big battle royal to face Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar's suspension is lifted, and we're watching AEW Rampage right now. Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta wrestling Bobby Fish and Adam Cole. Let's get Johnny North in here. Let's do this. Uh-huh. I said, hey, what up, big man?
Well, this is an okay tag match so far. I don't know what you think, but
yeah,
not bad. Some ridiculousness, but I mean, you know, it's Orange Cassidy. Nothing to be not expected of, but besides that, it's been all right. You know, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish are pretty good.
I don't know about the match. I wasn't so much paying attention to the match. I was more vibing to our sweet Hanukkah music that we had during the intro there, during the countdown. I thought that was pretty nice. I like that Hanukkah music we had going. We're in the holiday spirit. Happy Hanukkah, John. It's not quite Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts on Sunday night. Hope everybody's ready. A lot of Hanukkah talk on the show last night. We probably won't do so much Hanukkah talk tonight, Johnny. You know it's you know how long Hanukkah is, right? I was shocked that Freddie and AJ didn't know.
They never watched the Adam Sandler movie?
I guess not. They never heard
That's
the song?
I know. Like,
even in the song, he says, yeah, you know, instead of one day of Christmas, we got eight crazy nights, you know?
I thought Adam Sandler made it popular. Did he not? Like,
I think he definitely helped popularize Hanukkah, but I think Hanukkah was always a big deal among Jews. Like, I was into Hanukkah before I ever heard Adam Sandler do the song, you know? As a kid, Hanukkah, like, first night of Hanukkah was the big deal. That's when you get the big present, you know? You wait all year for Hanukkah, first night of Hanukkah. Like, I'm sure for you it was Christmas, but for me it was Hanukkah. It was always a present at Christmas, too. That was always pretty good because, you know. But Hanukkah was the best. I loved Hanukkah. So I'm hyped for Hanukkah, John. You could tell. I'm excited. Sunday night.
You sound like it.
Yeah,
I mean, Sunday. You celebrate Bob, so that's really good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Ryan Katz is Jewish. There you go. Happy Hanukkah, Ryan Katz. Shout out to Ryan. Shout out to Franco316, Brian Firth. How you doing, Brian? Hope Brian's doing all right. Alex Terrace on the show as well, Silent by Deadly. Thank you, everybody, for checking in live here tonight on a Friday night after SmackDown. Interesting SmackDown, weird SmackDown. A lot of the guys on the chat a little disappointed in the Canadians, John. Did they play tonight? What happened?
Well, you know, we don't have Carey Price, so it's not going to be a good season without Carey Price. You got to wait till next season, sadly.
He's not coming back all season?
Well, maybe if he comes back, it might be near the tail end, but, you know, it'll be over by then. So wait till next season.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize he was gone for I thought he was coming back or he was back already. I don't really watch hockey, so I don't know what's going on. But I thought he was back. Well, that's too bad. I wish him the best. And it's too bad for the Canadians, right? He's kind of their star player. And without him, it's tough, right? Guess they're not winning. They lost tonight and they're losing a lot, from what I understand.
Well, if you don't have your star goaltender that you're paying like $10 million a year,
what are you going to do?
It's kind of rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's too bad. But good news for Montreal. Sami Zayn won a big match tonight. That was nice to see. Samuel Zayn getting a victory. Despite how he may feel about me, I still love him. I still think Sami Zayn's a tremendous wrestler, entertaining. I was happy to see Sami win tonight. Nice win for Sami. Unexpected to see Sami win the Battle Royal.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely thought Jeff Hardy was going to win.
Yeah. Sami Zayn wins a Battle Royal, beating Jeff Hardy, the Viking Raiders, Drew Gulak, Mansoor, Mace, Angel Garza, Humberto Carrillo, Jinder, Wanky Shanky, Ricochet, Brother Nero, Jeff Hardy, Cesaro, Sheamus, Rick Boogs, not Shinsuke, which is weird, right? Boogs wrestled.
Not really.
No, come on. Boogs already wrestled. He wrestled a singles match against Cesaro, No, sorry, not Cesaro. That was Ridge Holland. I'm mistaking the jobbers. He lost to Angel Garza, which is even worse, actually, for Rick Boogs. Yet, he's still in this battle royal where the winner gets a title shot against Roman Reigns, whereas his, I guess, sidekick, Intercontinental Champion, great professional wrestler Shinsuke Nakamura, was just there. He did help actually Garza win, right, during that match. That was weird. We can talk about it. Like, Shinsuke tripped Humberto Carrillo. Humberto Carrillo tried to distract Rick Boogs by playing his guitar on top of a table with tons of food on the table, Thanksgiving food, because it was some sort of Thanksgiving leftover match where neither Garza nor Boogs got any kind of food on them or went through the table. It was Humberto, who's in Garza's corner. He's standing on the table playing the guitar. Shinsuke shows up, kicks him. Humberto takes a pretty nasty fall through the food and table, which causes the distraction for Boogs. Boogs is like, what's going on? And allows Angel Garza to hit his finisher and pin Boogs. What kind of distraction finish was that? I guess they're just trying to change it up, right? It's like, well, how about we do Rick Boogs wins because Humberto goes through a table? No, how about this? How about Angel Garza wins because his tag team partner goes through a table and he doesn't care for some reason? Even though they seem to be on the same page in the Battle Royal that they were also both booked in. Why isn't Shinsuke wrestling? Is he hurt? He's the Intercontinental Champion. You say that wasn't weird that he wasn't in the Battle Royal? I think it was weird.
I didn't find it weird because, like, we saw in the past where Nakamura seems like he is the sidekick, where they kind of push Boogs more than they push Nakamura. Like, he's the one who pushes the entrance and everything. And you hear on commentary that they push Boogs as, like, the big star. Regardless of Nakamura as the champion, it feels like they push him more than anything. They hype every little thing he does. Even all the ridiculous, like, power moves that he does that look really stupid, they hype it like it's a big thing.
Well, Pat McAfee does.
Right, but I mean, that's the main thing you hear in commentary, because Mike Cole shuts up, thankfully.
Yeah. Thankfully? Pat McAfee's ruining SmackDown for me. I'd rather hear Michael Cole than Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee is horrible.
Did you hear him say, like, you know, what if Matt Hardy wins his Battle Royal? Like, the place will go nuts?
Who said that? Michael Cole or McAfee?
Michael Cole said that.
I heard, thank you, Silent by Deadly, dropping a super chat. I heard him say, let's go, Brandon. I heard him say that on commentary. Good job, Pat McAfee. Are you allowed to say that? Is that just fine now? It seemed
to. I'm surprised he said it.
I'm surprised he said it, too. I'm really surprised he said it. I don't know. I thought that was a little weird. And Fred and AJ had to tell me what that meant. I didn't know what the hell that was. And now that I know, it's like, oh, okay. And Pat McAfee's dropping it on commentary? What's going on here? What's the story, Pat McAfee? What kind of guy is this? I don't know. I don't like Pat McAfee. His commentary's terrible. I don't really care about his political affiliations, but I do think he's garbage. A lot of people like him. I don't know what their problem is. A lot of people like a lot of bad shit, you know? A lot of very popular things are terrible. You know this. We all know this. A lot of dumbasses out there like Pat McAfee. I don't know what's going on. I think he's goddamn horrible. If you like him, it's fine. I mean, no disrespect. I just think he's really bad. Yeah. He's got energy, I guess. You can give him that. Got a lot of energy. But it's just like, he's annoying. Right? Anybody out there like
Pat
McAfee?
He overhypes things.
Am I the only one here?
He overhypes things.
Yeah.
But
it's terrible.
I think it's how he's unique. Like, he's different. Like, the fact that he's into the matches, unlike everyone else, it seems. Like, they're into it, but they're not into it where they actually care about the match. They overhype in a different way. They just talk about the stories, but they don't talk about the actual action, where he's actually albeit still, again, overhype, at least he's talking about the action.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like...
He just makes it sound ridiculous.
He doesn't sound very knowledgeable, though. Right? He doesn't sound like a guy who knows a lot about pro wrestling. He sounds like a guy who's like, just over the top,
right,
kind of dumb. I don't like him. Drew McIntyre showed up before this battle royal with a sword. Everybody's in the ring, ready for the battle royal. Drew McIntyre's mad that he wasn't included on the list to be in this battle royal, which, I mean, legit complaint when Ridge Holland and Rick Boogs are in this match and you, Drew McIntyre, are not. I mean, yeah, all right. Solid complaint from Drew McIntyre. But to show up with a sword and threaten to cut everybody's head off, that seems a bit much. Drew comes into the ring with a sword, starts swinging it around. Everybody bails from the match. You know, everybody leaves the ring. They're like, oh, forget this. And then Adam Pearce shows up and he's like, Drew McIntyre, you better stop this. And we go to commercial. We come back. The match has begun. Drew McIntyre is just gone. He just decided to leave. This homicidal maniac who was ready to cut people's heads off with a sword a minute ago, when a WWE quasi-authority figure shows up, he decides to pack up his sword and go home. What?
Well, it's just a slow build towards him against Roman.
Okay,
I'm gonna
guess. Okay, but I don't. Yeah. Whatever. Him, Roman, sure. But he was gonna kill everybody with a sword. Adam Pearce shows up. We go to commercial, and he's like, ah, "I'm gone." He just disappears. He's cool. He's calmed down. No repercussions either for threatening to kill people with a sword. Drew McIntyre isn't indefinitely suspended like Brock Lesnar. He came in swinging a sword around at like 20 guys. And they all like leave the ring, of course. That's fine. And then he's calm enough after that to be like, oh, you're right, Adam Pearce. I'll just leave. Sorry about that. Why doesn't he stay in the ring with the sword and say, like, how about you put me in the battle royal or I'm going to stab you in the eye with this sword? He seems to be willing to cut people's heads off with the sword. The only reason he wasn't successful is because everybody ran out of the ring, but he was swinging that thing like he meant damage. I don't know how sharp it is, but it's got to hurt at the very least, if not decapitate. It's a sword. I mean, you know?
Right.
It's crazy, right?
Is that not crazy?
Is it not crazy that Drew comes into the ring threatening to kill, and then Adam Pearce is like, and he's like, all right, sorry about that. And he leaves? This is the problem with WWE. Their people don't make sense. The characters don't have real human motivations. If a man came into a ring saying, put me in this match or I'm going to kill everybody with my sword, he wouldn't just go away peacefully after a 2-minute commercial break. That's not how human beings react to situations. Especially sword-wielding human beings. Like, what?
Right. I think it was just a scare tactic. That's what I think it was.
Yeah, right. It's fucking stupid. So we get to the Battle Royal and things happen. Madcap Moss teased eliminating Corbin, but it was just a joke. And then Corbin decides to eliminate Moss, and Moss is kind of mad for a second, but he just laughs it off because they just laugh it off because it's all a big joke, because who cares? He was going to get a world title shot at Roman Reigns, but screw it. And also, Corbin, really stupid. Why not keep your friend in there a little longer so he could help you maybe win? But, you know, it's all a big joke. Sheamus doesn't want to team up with Sami Zayn, which I thought was interesting. Sami tried to kind of help get Sheamus to team up together and eliminate Jeff Hardy, which to me makes a lot of sense in a battle royal, right? You have two heels, go eliminate a babyface. But Sheamus is not into that. He's not into that idea. It was weird the way Sheamus was booked here, almost like a babyface in this battle royal. He managed to eliminate the Viking Raiders on his own, tossed Ricochet out of the ring as well when they were the final four. Really final five, because Sami Zayn had slipped out of the ring, but they said it was the final four. But Sami Zayn left the ring through the middle rope, and he was just kind of skulking around ringside. You didn't see him for a while. He disappeared. And then Sheamus eventually does decide to team up with Corbin to try and eliminate Hardy. He won't team up with Sammy, but Corbin, you know, whatever. Sheamus wants to be the only redhead on SmackDown. It backfired, and Corbin decided to turn his back on Sheamus and eliminate him. So then Sheamus got tossed over the rope, and then Jeff Hardy immediately tossed Corbin, and the bell rings, and the announcer's like, here's your winner, Jeff Hardy. So Jeff Hardy goes to the second rope and is standing there, and nobody says, oh, what about Sami Zayn? Adam Pearce, who's like the director of authority, he doesn't stop the referee. He doesn't stop the person who rings the bell. He doesn't stop the announcer. Nobody tries to save Jeff Hardy in this situation. You could tell clearly the viewers at home are like, well, Sami got tossed over there. Where's Sami? And at a certain point, I thought, when they announced Jeff as the winner, I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess they're going to forget about Sammy, or maybe I missed something and Sammy got eliminated for real during a commercial break. But then Sammy shows up, rolls back into the ring. As Jeff Hardy's on the second rope celebrating the win that was just announced, Sammy decides to come back, tosses Jeff Hardy, and then the bell rings again, and Sammy's announced as the winner. How did the bell ringer know exactly what was happening? Like, the bell ringer screwed Jeff Hardy. If there's a conspiracy, it's against Jeff, not against Sammy, right? Because the person who rings the bell, right? There were several referees ringside, so I don't know if you could say one referee was the person who said ring the bell. But the person who is ringing the bell is in cahoots with Sami Zayn in one way or another. Because as soon as Jeff eliminates Corbin, the bell rings, right?
Yep.
So the person who rings the bell, you would think, is under the impression that Jeff Hardy has just won the match. But they're not under that impression, because as soon as Sammy comes in and tosses Jeff over the top, the bell rings again. So the bell ringer is not confused by this turn of events of Sami Zayn showing up out of nowhere. The bell ringer is well aware that Sami Zayn is now the real winner of this match, because there was no pause. It was toss Jeff over, ding, 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 Sammy's the winner. Right? It was weird the way it was handled. It seemed like Jeff was getting screwed in a way, because the bell rang, he was announced as the winner, and as he's celebrating, Sammy comes in and, you know, like when British Bulldog thought he won the Royal Rumble, I don't think they rang the bell and announced him as the winner, right? He was just standing there celebrating, right? He was just standing there celebrating. Yeah. Shawn Michaels comes back in. Only one foot had touched the floor. Shawn Michaels comes back in, pushes him out, and then the bell rings, because that's when the match actually ended. But as far as I'm concerned, when the bell rings, the match is over. And the match has to be restarted, right? And the match should be restarted in some way if you're going to continue the match and have Sami Zayn as the winner, right? So the finish of that Battle Royal was really screwy, right? It was really, and they're probably never going to address it. It's just like, yeah, well, Sami won, but it was good finish.
Take a guess here. I don't think they were supposed to ring that bell. I think that was a mistake. The first time, I don't think they were supposed to do it, because like you said, it kind of screws things up too much. You know, it adds confusion where there shouldn't be confusion. You could have commentating say, "Oh, Jeff Hardy's won the match," but to ring the bell, that confuses not only us, it confuses everyone in the arena as well.
But that's probably the desired effect.
Yeah, but to get the reaction, you're going to leave it as confusion.
Well, there's confusion, and then when Sammy comes back in, and then he's announced as the winner, it's like, you know, they're mad. They boo. I think that was the – I don't think it was a mistake. I think this is what they planned to do. Because if it was a mistake, it was a mistake made by several people at the same time. Because the bell rang, and then immediately, I think Greg Hamilton was there, whoever it is. I don't know. Is it Greg Hamilton still?
I think Greg Hamilton's gone, actually.
Oh, okay. Who does the ring announcing? Who's the guy who does the, here's your winner?
Yeah, it's another guy. It's not him, though.
It's not Justin Roberts.
I think he has, like, black hair.
Yeah, I don't know who the hell it is.
Not Roberts.
No. Anyways, so Howard Finkel goes, here is your winner. You know, like Finkel made the mistake. Yeah, I wish it was Finkel. But you know what I mean? The bell ringer and Finkel, they both screwed up here. So I don't think it was a mistake. I think this was the plan. They were supposed to ring the bell. They were supposed to announce Hardy as the winner so that Sammy could then come in and win. But that's just WWE logic. It's lacking.
No, but you're right, though. Like, once the bell rings, the match is over.
Yeah.
So if you ring the bell again, like they did, that means you restart the match. So technically, like, the match should have been restarted instead of that elimination counting.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. Like, there's too much confusion there. The bell shouldn't have rang twice like that. That's too much. Someone screwed up there. I don't know who did, but someone screwed up.
I think whoever produced this match. I think this was the plan. Really do think this was the plan. And it was screwed up. But, you know, in the end, Sami Zayn wins. Roman Reigns, the Usos, and Paul Heyman are in Roman's suite or whatever locker room backstage. And they're just laughing.
Yeah.
They're laughing that Sami has won. This is how much of a threat Sami... Yeah, exactly. Sami's just a joke to them. They're just like, ah, ha, ha. Sami has won, so Roman is laughing, and he's not threatened in any way. And then Kayla is in the ring. Big night for Kayla. A lot of Kayla action, right?
A little too much.
Yeah, what the hell was it? I mean, she opened the show and closed the show.
And, like, had something in the middle, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Kayla welcomed us to SmackDown and started cutting a promo about Brock Lesnar's indefinite suspension, but was interrupted by Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. Like, why is Kayla a character now? She was just a backstage interviewer. All of a sudden, she's a character. She opened the show. Is Kayla in charge of SmackDown now?
Character development in this show, too.
Yeah, a lot of character
development. Her job is on the line in this.
Yeah, right? Because Kayla starts saying something about Brock, and Heyman starts berating Kayla for not being a legit journalist and only speculating on rumors about Brock Lesnar, and he tells Kayla to leave, and then she does. The fans chant, "We want Brock." Pat McAfee wonders if the fans are saying, "Let's go, Brandon." And he actually said that into a live mic. Roman says Brock Lesnar is a loser that he already beat, and whoever wins the Battle Royal is going to get smashed. He says he's the tribal chief, the head of the table, and the greatest of all time. Ouch. Roman says when his days are done around here, which could be sooner than later, the whole world will acknowledge him. What does he mean his days could be done sooner than later? Is Roman retiring? Is Roman got a big movie role that he's going to go take and he's done with wrestling? Maybe? Huh? That'd be nice.
I thought he was talking about like how The Rock kind of just left wrestling. I think it could happen to him too, or it's just he becomes too big for wrestling.
He wishes.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, he's got the longest reign champion in like, I think, decades now. Because I don't think anyone's going to beat him.
Probably not. Probably not Sami Zayn or Drew McIntyre. Anyways, later on in the show, there was more Kayla. She's talking to Adam Pearce. Or no, there was Kayla and Aaliyah talking, and then Paul Heyman showed up, and Aaliyah promptly left. Heyman got creepily close to Kayla. It was really weird the way he was kind of standing behind her, getting all in her breathing space. I don't know what's going on with Heyman and Kayla, but he's a little weird. Heyman tells Kayla if she doesn't have confirmation on Brock Lesnar by the end of the night, that she'll be fired, and he'll be pushing for that with the authorities on SmackDown. So Kayla is now on a mission to find out what's going on with Brock Lesnar. One way or the other, because I guess, so this is Heyman saying, I don't really know what's going on with Brock Lesnar. Kayla, you better find out, or I'm going to tell people that you're reporting on rumors and you should be fired, right? So Heyman is...
Bad journalism.
But yes. Heyman here is kind of showing his hand in a way, right? Because he's kind of telling the audience, I don't know what's happening with Brock Lesnar, and I would like to know, is he coming back? But I guess... it's not that Heyman doesn't know about Brock Lesnar. It's that he doesn't know about the suspension and whoever's in charge of the suspension, which doesn't seem to be Adam Pearce, right? Like, Brock is indefinitely suspended for beating up Adam Pearce, but Adam Pearce doesn't seem to be the one in charge of his suspension. Because when Kayla interviews Adam Pearce backstage and asks him about the suspension, he says he would be shocked if Brock's suspension was lifted anytime soon. But then, at the end of the show, when Sami Zayn has won the Battle Royal, Kayla shows up and starts talking about Brock Lesnar. And she says that his suspension has been lifted. She just got breaking news in some sort of earpiece that I didn't even see that she had.
Yeah, I thought she was just hearing voices or something. Like, I didn't know she had an earpiece.
I didn't see an earpiece. But apparently somebody talked in her ear and told her that Brock Lesnar's suspension has been lifted and he will be appearing on SmackDown next week in San Antonio, Texas. Sammy is mad about this news. Roman is shocked. And Adam Pearce also seemed upset. So clearly this was news to Adam Pearce as well. Who's in charge of Brock's suspension? Is it Sonya Deville? Is it Vince McMahon? You would assume that it would be Vince because they're bringing Vince back as a character, right? We saw Vince on Raw and Survivor Series this week, so I guess Vince is making the decisions. I don't know if they're bringing him back, like, you know, more regularly than the whole egg story that we saw on Survivor Series and Raw, but if Vince isn't running this Brock Lesnar suspension angle, who is? Right? Because it's not Adam Pearce, even though he was the one that suspended Brock in the first place, right? Like, what?
Well, first, like, that promo they did with Adam Pearce in the back, wasn't that kind of weird how, like, they were talking to him and then they went to a video package? It was kind of like doing, like, a flashback kind of video package in a sense, and then right back to him.
Yeah.
It's very weird doing something like that. Like, it just, it doesn't feel like it's a real promo when you do something like that. It just feels like cut one segment, package, another segment. Like, it feels like when they do the openings all the time and they just always cut to a package.
Yeah, it was strange. It was like, hey, Adam Pearce, what about Brock Lesnar's suspension? And for those of you that don't remember, this is why Brock Lesnar was suspended. Let's take a look at this in this thought bubble. It was strange. It was very strange.
Well, but, in the middle of talking to the guy, you know, like you have a microphone in your hand and then suddenly, oh, we're going to video package. And then it's like, air the package and then talk to him. What's up?
Riho just beat Britt Baker. Cody versus Andrade is coming up on Dynamite Wednesday. Also, Chris Statlander versus Ruby Soho and Bryan Danielson versus Allen Five Angels. Cody versus Andrade in a street fight is going to be good. Ooh, and Sting and Darby versus Billy and one of his kids, Billy Gunn and one of the small Billy Gunns. Sting's going to wrestle on Dynamite on Wednesday. And Sammy Guevara will be wrestling Tony Nese, defending the TNT title next Friday on Rampage.
Well, they had a promo, and I think Nese like beat him up, so that's why it happened. Ooh, on Rampage.
FTR versus Lucha Brothers, best 2 out of 3 falls for the tag team titles next Friday on Rampage, too. That could be
okay,
excellent.
Okay, yeah, so that's Rampage. Everything else you said was on Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
that's
Rampage
a lot you just threw out there. So.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. It's just I was watching the graphics on the Rampage show right now. Riho just beat Britt Baker in a match. So Riho will get a shot at Britt Baker at some point for the title because that was a stipulation of the match. And then for Dynamite on Wednesday in Atlanta, it'll be Cody versus Andrade in an Atlanta street fight. It'll be Sting and Darby. Sting's going to wrestle versus Billy Gunn and one of his kids, Sting and Darby versus the Gunn Club. And I said something else to Bryan Danielson versus Allen Angels. It's pretty good.
Ruby
and
Soho.
Then Ruby Soho versus Chris Statlander. God damn, pal. That's a good Dynamite. And then next Friday, they announced the 2 out of 3 falls, FTR versus Lucha Brothers for the tag titles. And Sammy Guevara defending the TNT title against Tony Nese in Nese's AEW debut. So, lot of stuff there in AEW. And earlier in the night, I don't know who won that opening tag match, John. I was talking to you. I didn't really see the finish.
Oh, it was Fish and Cole. Fish hit the suplex off the top.
Okay. And our main event here on Rampage is going to be Daniel Garcia versus Eddie Kingston, which should be fun. But, wow, what a lineup for Dynamite in Atlanta. Sting on TV is always special.
The Rampage next week actually looks very interesting. I mean, it's only two matches, but that's two solid matches when you think about it.
That two out of three falls is ridiculous. FTR versus the Lucha Brothers is going to be sick.
Well, Tony Nese and Guevara, like, that should be pretty good. I mean, Nese was one of the best Cruiserweight champions WWE had.
Yeah, he was good. Talented wrestler. So Brock Lesnar is going to be on SmackDown next week. That's official. That's kind of fun. WWE and AEW going hard next week, right? Next Friday, it's going to be good.
Is something big happening next week? Like, I know it's the first week of December, I guess, but that's about it.
I don't know. But SmackDown's got Brock, and AEW's got a two out of three falls there for the tag title. So next Friday is going to be big for wrestling. Tonight, was there a match of the night on SmackDown, John? Was there?
Oof. That's going to be the harder one to find, I think. Was there a match of the night? Yikes. I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of bad tonight, unfortunately.
Honestly, I'd have to say it was the Battle Royal, because everything else was just like, maybe Drew McIntyre, because the Battle Royal wasn't good either, but it's hard to say it was the best match, but maybe Drew McIntyre and Jeff Hardy versus King Corbin and Madcap Moss, but
No, I think I'm going to go, and even this isn't great, but I got to go with Cesaro and Ridge Holland, I think.
Oh.
I know, but I mean, there really wasn't anything good tonight.
Ridge did do a nice double overhook suplex. That thing was sweet.
He started good. He just ended poorly.
How come he lost? It's his first match.
Well, I think it's one of those things where, you know, he's inexperienced kind of thing. It showed that he's strong, but he doesn't know what to do in the tough situation. And that's the story they're doing. Problem is, like, he legit didn't know what he was doing there at the end, so it looked bad.
It looked really bad. The fact that he lost, too, in his debut match, it's just not how you build a new star. And I guess he's not a new star. Thank you, Harold Schneider. Drop in a super chat. Appreciate you. Who's the leader right now? I think it's Silent by Deadly. There you go. There you go. Thank you, everybody, supporting the Ringside Report Network. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, do all the things. Stay with us throughout. Got an off weekend this week, John. Usually I'm very busy on the weekend with UFC pay-per-views or WWE pay-per-views or AEW pay-per-views. I don't think I've had an off Saturday night or off weekend in over a month, so we're off this weekend, and I'll be back Monday night after Raw. That's fun for me. I mean,
well, and
a little break.
The following Saturday.
What's the following Saturday? Is the UFC pay-per-view, right?
Is it not the UFC pay-per-view? I thought it was.
I think you're right. I think it's the 10th, eh? Or the 11th? Yeah. You
the
are
the 11th,
right.
I think, yeah.
Ooh, well, I'm not mad at that. I'm actually very excited for that. Poirier versus Oliveira. Nunes versus Pena. Jeez. That's a hell of a main event. UFC 269. Yeah, we'll do a watch along for that on the 11th of December. That'll be our next weekend show. That'll be really fun. I got to see what the odds are on that fight. Because I feel like there's a chance. And I don't think she's going to get any love. Oh, yeah, there you go. Big underdog, Juliana Pena. I think she has a chance. I think a lot of people are going to dismiss her and say she has no chance. But I think styles make fights, and I think her wrestling will give her a good chance of beating Amanda. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying that the odds will be... I mean, she will be a heavy underdog. She's plus 575, plus 700 in some sports books. She is a big underdog. and I feel like she could be poised for an upset here. I know a lot of people won't be believing in her, but I got a feeling about Juliana Pena. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I just wonder if you're going to say that week of the fight, though.
No, I will. I think she'll be worth a look. I don't know if I'll put her on like a parlay, but I'll definitely put a couple bucks on her myself. I mean, I don't know if I could recommend her as the official pick, but I could recommend her as, you know, you want to put $5 on it to win, you know, 50. It's a pretty good deal. Because right. I think you got a pretty good, it's pretty good odds on Juliana Pena. I don't think she should be such a huge underdog. Amanda Nunes has not been put on her back very often in her MMA career. She's not shown a tremendous guard. Amanda Nunes is dangerous standing on her feet. If Juliana Pena stands up with Amanda Nunes for a long time, she's going to get beat 100%. But she gets those takedowns, things could change. Juliana Pena's got a hell of a ground game, man. She's athletic, she's strong, and she wants this fight. She's hungry. I don't know. I like Juliana. We'll see. All right. What am I talking about here? We're talking about pro wrestling. Why are we talking about fights? Angel Garza. Well, I'll tell you why we're talking about fights. Because this pro wrestling tonight was garbage. Garbage pro wrestling. Johnny North is giving Cesaro versus Ridge Holland the match of the night, and that was garbage. I'm going to give the Battle Royal the match of the night because I think it was the most entertaining segment of the show. There was something on the line, and it was the most fun to watch. Like, what else was fun on this show? I know you're going to say the Roman promo, but really?
Well, again, what was a better promo on this show? I mean, that was clearly, I mean, again, the best segment. I mean, nothing else compares. I mean, granted, yeah, there was a lot of bad, but again, he easily stands out on this show.
Charlotte's promo was better. Charlotte's the real top star of SmackDown, not Roman. Charlotte is the real big star on this brand. Charlotte is the best. She's the best thing on SmackDown. Week in, week out, the queen. Michael Cole starts interviewing her about her loss to Becky Lynch at Survivor Series. Charlotte says she's only disappointed by the poor officiating in the match. Of course, Becky was holding the ropes to beat Charlotte. Charlotte says Becky can pretend to be big-time Bex on Raw, but over here, she's still the most dominant woman in all of sports entertainment. Toni Storm came out, says Charlotte will now be coming after her because she's done with Becky. And Charlotte's like, I'm not coming after you. I don't even know you exist. She says there's levels to this, and Charlotte says she's on a different level. Charlotte then decides to go after Tony. Tony ducks, attacks Charlotte a bit, but Charlotte bails out of the ring. Tony goes after Charlotte and gets pied in the face because the pie and all the Thanksgiving leftovers were still there from the Rick Boogs-Angel Garza match because, you know, no one used it except for poor Umberto who took a table there, went through a table. So there were, like, cream pies. Feel weird saying that. But Tony took one right in the face. I don't know. It looked like just cream, right? Can you still say that?
The
Is
Rock?
That all right? Yeah, Tony Storm. Do you like pie or do you like strudel? Anyways, so Tony Storm took a pie to the face from Charlotte. And then Charlotte kind of walked away. And then she told Tony to kind of come back at her. And Tony did. And Charlotte clearly took another pie. And very obviously pied Tony in the face that Tony just kind of took, and then Charlotte left. Why didn't Tony resist? Why didn't Tony fight Charlotte? She took one pie to the face, and then and she seemed to be having the physical advantage in the ring. Charlotte had to bail out. Tony takes the pie to the face, pie all over her face, and then Charlotte comes back at her, and she's like, come at me, and Tony's like, okay. And then takes another pie to the face, doesn't try to block the pie, doesn't try to put a pie in Charlotte's face, doesn't try to grab a turkey and throw it at Charlotte, doesn't punch Charlotte, just takes the pie to the face and stands there. Why did she take the second pie? I guess she likes pie. But I know she's marrying Juice Robinson, so it can't be that. I don't know what's going on here, John.
Well, I know you said you liked this. I didn't like this because, like, if you're building, like, your next challenger for Charlotte, you did a horrible job of doing that because, you, to me, it just, like, almost buried her right here with this. Like, she made her seem like a joke. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but that's the way it came off as. So it's like, I don't know how you see this as good, where it's just, well, what's the point of Charlotte wrestling her now?
I don't know. I don't think there is a point. Why did Toni Storm walk into the second pie?
I don't know. Maybe it's inexperience. Maybe she didn't understand what was going on, and Charlotte just, you know, took advantage of the situation. But it looked bad. It looked very bad.
Yeah. Yes, I know, Franco. When I said cream pie, I immediately realized, oh, maybe I'm saying something that people might think something else about. But that's what it was. It was just a pie of, you know, like a Boston cream pie. That's a thing, right? Get your mind out of the gutter. Get your mind out of the gutter, Franco. Good God Almighty. But, yeah, as soon as I said it, I was like, I don't think you can say that anymore because you can't Google it. All right. Sasha Banks, who I think should be the real opponent for Charlotte Flair. Like, Toni Storm is just the jabroni opponent waiting for Sasha for whatever, the Rumble or Mania even. Sasha, right? I mean, Sasha's Sasha's the top babyface. Charlotte's the top heel. They haven't had the match yet. Come on.
I would hope it'd be sooner than WrestleMania, but I mean, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe she'll go on and win the Rumble, possibly.
She hasn't won a Rumble yet. Who's won the Rumbles? There haven't been many women's Rumbles, right? So Charlotte won one.
Well, Asuka won the first one.
Right. And Charlotte won. Who else has won? Becky won?
The second one, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. And then Charlotte won last year, right?
Bianca won last year.
Oh, yeah. Has Charlotte won one yet?
I feel like she did, but I could be wrong because I think she was runner-up a couple times, so it felt like she won, right? But
yeah.
I mean, I think she was runner-up in the first two.
Yeah, Bianca definitely won last year or this year's Rumble, right? 2021. It just feels like last year because it was in January this year. Becky. Wait. Women's Rumble. No, Charlotte won in 2020. She eliminated Shayna. Charlotte won in 2020. So she has won one.
Well, Charlotte's always done well in the Rumbles, when you think about it. I mean, it's either final two, final three, or win. So yeah.
But Sasha has not won one yet. And you got to figure it's so got to be. Yeah, it's on her bucket list. She's got to do it. So probably. Sasha winning the Rumble and going up against Charlotte, to me, is that's money.
Makes the most sense. I mean, who else are they going to give it to at this point? You know, you think maybe Rhea Ripley, but I don't know. After the way they pushed her this past week, it feels like she's not the top star that she was supposed to be.
I don't know about that. She lost the tag team belts, I think, to go on as a single star, and I could see Rhea versus Becky at WrestleMania. That's a big match that you could save for Mania, too, because Becky's got other things she's doing. I don't think she's done with Bianca altogether. She's right now in a feud with Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan right now for Becky is kind of the equivalent to Toni Storm for Charlotte. It's kind of like a bump in the road for something bigger, which could be, you know, Rhea Ripley for Becky and Sasha Banks for Charlotte. And then there's always Bayley, who's a wild card, who's undrafted. We don't know what brand she's going to be on and whether she'll be a heel or a babyface when she comes back. And Bayley is super talented. I mean, Bayley could come back in the Rumble, win the Rumble, and then, you know, she's right there. Same for Asuka. I mean, I don't think they're going to give Asuka the Rumble, but Asuka is not around, and at some point she'll come back. Those are two major players of this division that just are not around right now for injury reasons. But when they do come back, it's going to be some major players back in the mix. And they could be involved for WrestleMania. I think Bayley will probably be back for Mania. I would not mind seeing Bayley, You know, when just when you think Sasha's going to win the Rumble, here comes number 30, and it's Bayley making her return, and she wins the Rumble. That would be cool. A lot of options.
Yeah, options. I'm just saying, like, after I saw Rhea Ripley in Survivor Series, the way she was used, it feels like she's not being pushed as, like, a top star anymore.
How do you mean?
Like, she was just kind of eliminated. Like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, yeah. I know they were trying to push the whole Bianca thing, but when you're just kind of like an afterthought, it's never a good thing.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. But I do think that she's now being moved off this tag team thing so she can, you know, Becky did a promo on Raw this week, and she talked about what's next for her, and she mentioned three wrestlers. She said Liv Morgan, Bianca, and Rhea Ripley. So those are the three kind of top challenges for Becky right now on Raw. Rhea's going to get her shot. And Rhea just losing, like, Becky cuts this promo at the beginning of the show mentioning Rhea Ripley as one of her potential challengers along with Bianca and Liv. And, you know, I mean, Bianca, she took the title from. She's had this established feud with. Liv, she's currently feuding with. The fact she mentioned Rhea Ripley, it's like, okay, well, there's something there. And there's obviously some sort of respect. And down the road, they'll probably do this match. And then later on in the night, Rhea and Nikki wind up losing those women's tag team titles to Zelina and Carmella, which was interesting. I was happy for Zelina winning in Brooklyn. She's from New York. Did you see that? You see how happy Zelina looked winning those tag titles? I was happy for Zelina.
The finish didn't seem like anything special whatsoever, but
no, but the celebration afterwards, like, Zelina looked pumped.
And Carmella is like Kane now for some reason?
She just has a mask. It's not like Kane. It's just like powers.
It looks exactly like Kane, like red.
Don't say that, because next they're going to put them in an Inferno match. And, you know, if Undertaker and Kane can't make that work, I doubt Zelina and Carmella can. So I think Rhea Ripley is going to get a big shot at Becky, and I think Sasha down the road with Charlotte makes sense. But Sasha right now seems to be involved in something with Sonya Deville.
Right.
She's now been dragged down in the Naomi feud.
Well, I think it's the carryout, because I don't know what you thought, but I thought Naomi wasn't really carrying it in this match, and I think they need Sasha in order to make this actually a good feud, because Naomi was really lacking tonight in her performance.
She looked really bad in this match. Naomi looked...
I'm glad we both agree on this one. Wow.
I'm a big Naomi fan. I love Naomi, but she looked awful. She has not wrestled a lot, and it shows. She looked rusty as hell. She did not look good. Really bad stuff from Naomi tonight. Looked like a near amateur out there. Naomi and Sasha do wind up winning after beating Natty and Shayna. I like Natty and Shayna as a tag team. I don't know if the WWE does, because they lost to Naomi and Sasha. Naomi getting the pin on Natty after a sunset flip. Sonya Deville on commentary for this one, and Naomi kind of faced off with her. Before that, Sasha cut a promo with Naomi backstage. Or sorry, with Sonya backstage talking about Naomi. Also complaining about her team at Survivor Series. Sasha says, I was the captain of the Survivor Series team, and you gave me a team full of traitors. I should have been able to pick my own team. I wanted Naomi on my team. And she wants to know what Sonya's problem with Naomi is. Well, maybe watch the match, Sasha, and you'll find out.
Wouldn't have won with Naomi, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think so. And man, that match was terrible. Also, that promo happened. You know, Sonya's like, okay, Sasha Banks, I'll tell you what, if you like Naomi so much, you're going to team up with her right, you know, against Natty and Shayna. And then as soon as that promo's over, Naomi's music hits and she's headed to the ring. How did Naomi already know she had a match? Sonya just made it that second.
No, but they said the promo was filmed earlier in the day.
Did they say that? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they did say that, though.
Okay.
They covered it.
It was a close one. I was like, what the hell's going on here? All right, John.
I think they realized.
You saved them.
That, well, they said they realized it. I would have called them out on it too, but they they catched it in time.
Yeah. Horrible stuff from Naomi in this match. Like, a few of these moves were just, like, really labored. Right? When she was in there with Shayna, I don't know what was going on, but it looked ugly.
It looked lost. It also looked like she didn't want to really wrestle whatsoever. She gave them the over, like, right away, and she was just, like, completely on defense, like, pretty much the whole match. And the problem was, that, like, there was no comeback. Like, Sasha never got tagged in, so they went to a commercial break with this. This just, like, dragged forever. And nothing really exciting happened, except it finally ended, thankfully.
Yep. And Naomi and Sasha, I guess, are teaming up a bit? I don't know.
Well, I think they just realized, like, they like this storyline, but Naomi's not carrying her weight in this storyline, so they need someone to help. And Sasha's there to help, I think.
Great. So Sasha's dragged down in this feud with Sonya. Like, it's not even feuding with somebody who's wrestling. It's just Sonya Deville.
No, but Sonya's a big deal, though.
She's picking on random SmackDown wrestlers for some reason. Oh, Eddie Kingston just beat Daniel Garcia, but then 2.0 came into the ring, attacked Eddie Kingston, put the boots to him. And who makes the save for Eddie Kingston? Le Champion.
You would think it would be Moxley, no?
It's Le Champion. Oh, wow. Chris Jericho, who is on commentary. Jericho runs in to save Eddie Kingston and clears the ring as Rampage comes to a close. Jericho saves Eddie Kingston.
What happened on Dynamite? Remember. Had the conversation with 2.0?
Oh, yeah, Jericho did. He doesn't like 2.0. Okay. So maybe we'll see Jericho and Eddie Kingston and maybe somebody else against Daniel Garcia and 2.0. But there was the end of Rampage. I don't know. I was doing the show here while watching Rampage. Rampage looked all right from what I saw. Might have to watch some stuff over again, but it seemed more interesting than SmackDown tonight. SmackDown was particularly bad tonight.
Well, except maybe the Riho match, but nothing really noteworthy happened tonight on Rampage, it seemed.
Yeah. The Riho match seemed pretty good, though, Riho and Britt. And Riho winning was a big deal. Riho winning
right.
was a big deal. Mostly they announced just a ton of matches for the future Dynamites and Rampage that are more exciting, right? Nothing that crazy for the show tonight. Even though they were in...
Well, they didn't announce it.
Chicago. What?
They didn't announce it, but JR's not going to be on commentating for, like, at least most of December. He won't be back till the 29th, apparently.
Yes.
So that's kind of going to be too bad.
Yes, JR will not be on commentary for a little while. He announced
going through some treatments
on Twitter. Let me just get JR's. He says, due to my skin cancer care totaling 22 radiation treatments starting Monday, I will hopefully return to the announce desk on December 29th in Jacksonville. Tony Khan supports me on this strategy, which has been a blessing. My thanks for all your support. Well, Boomer Sooner, JR, we love you, and we wish you a speedy recovery. We love Jim Ross. As you know, I'm a pro JR guy. I think JR is the greatest announcer of all time, greatest play-by-play guy of all time, and just a brilliant mind in professional wrestling. A great character, a great guy, and I hope that he kicks out of this skin cancer. Boomer Sooner, pal. We love JR. JR is the best. So, but yeah, he's going to be taking a break from the commentary desk. And I guess it'll be Shivani, Excalibur, and Shivani and Excalibur on Dynamite, or they'll add somebody, Big Show or Taz or something.
They usually throw in Taz when there's someone needs replacing.
Taz and Excalibur are not a bad team together.
They could throw in Big Show though. That's interesting as well, like you say.
Why not? He's done very little in the company. Remember when he wrestled QT Marshall? Whatever happened to that? He did that, and then that was it.
Oh, I've seen him wrestle 2 1-on-3 matches against enhancement guys. So So he's done that.
Okay.
He's had at least three matches now in AEW. I don't know what he's really working towards here, but he's doing stuff. He's around. He exists.
He does exist, but like barely, right? It's strange.
That's why I'd actually use him for Dynamite. I mean, if you're ever going to use him, now would be the time.
I'd like to see Big Show. Like, I'd even watch Big Show versus three jabronis as a Dynamite segment. Why not? Why isn't he wrestling on Dynamite once in a while? It's weird.
Well, if you see Dynamite, it's hard for a lot of people to get on Dynamite, so I can understand why he's not getting on there, but I put him on commentary at least. Change it up. Do something different.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of his as well. A lot of people in AEW that I like. I like Jeff Hardy, too. I like that he's getting, like, not buried on SmackDown, you know? I like that he almost
won the
Battle Royal. Yeah, he's really over, but, you know, a lot of people are over, then they don't really do anything with them. But Jeff Hardy is, like, a legend that's over, and they're not completely burying him. They're treating him with a certain degree of respect, and I appreciate that. Because that does not happen often in the WWE with their legends.
No, it's too bad, but you know, Jeff, thankfully, like, he's a guy who can still wrestle. I think he's, as long as you're still of use to WWE and you can be on weekly television, they'll still use you to some extent. They'll still somewhat give you some over. So that's nice. They won't completely bury you.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff, not winning the Battle Royal, like, it just feels like they have him at this point where he's always in the mix, but he's never going for the championship match. You can never really believe in Jeff, sadly.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. Like, you got to give Jeff something, but they never give him really anything except glimmers of hope. But he never succeeds, so it's hard to really get behind that.
That's why it would have been nice for him to win the Battle Royal tonight. And maybe because of the screwy finish, he still gets a shot.
They should have just gave him the moment. I mean, it's his hometown and everything. Like, I don't know why he didn't give it to him.
Yeah, that's true. Hometown or Greensboro tonight. Crowd was into Jeff and, of course, the Queen Charlotte Flair. I thought Charlotte had the best promo tonight. She's the best.
Well, again, I just, you know, the way it made Toni Storm look like a jabroni, it's like that to me, that defeats the purpose of like having this feud. Like, why are you having this feud if like the feud's already over, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about the Zia Lee cartoon? Another Zia Lee cartoon. This one about a bully who was picking on and beating up her older brother at school, and it seems like Zia Lee took up for her brother and beat this guy up somehow. How's this little girl beating up older kids? I don't know. She must be some hell of a fighter. Can't wait till she comes to the WWE and shows us what she's got. I guess.
I love her answer to everything. Violence is the answer. That's how you solve all your problems, apparently. Violence.
Well, she hasn't outright said that, but that definitely is the underlying message. Beat people up out of revenge for your family. Which, you know, if your family is being wronged, why not assault those people who are wronging your family? I mean, within reason. And don't get caught. That's the main point. Don't get caught. Leave no witnesses if you're going to commit a crime. Okay? That's Dave's advice for the night. No. Don't commit crimes. I don't advise you to do criminal activity. John!
You're the one saying commit crimes here.
No, I said don't commit crimes. I just said don't. I was joking before, John. But if you are going to commit crimes, I'd prefer you not to get caught because, you know, getting caught sucks. You know, if you're watching this, chances are you are a friend. You know, you are a positive influence in the world. You're watching this show. You're cool. If you're going to do a crime, I understand these things happen. Don't get caught, my friend. You're part of the Ringside Report universe. If you're going to do a crime, make sure you don't have witnesses doing that crime. I'm just saying, sometimes people have to do crimes. People get into desperate situations, John. Let's end the show now before I get myself into more trouble. How about that?
As long as the video is still up here tomorrow, it's all good.
Don't commit crimes. Crimes are bad. Drugs are bad. Stay in school. Okay? That's my real advice to you. Crimes are bad. Drugs are bad. Stay in school. Stay out of jail. Crack is whack.
Right.
Shout out to Silent by Deadly dropping a super chat. You are a super chat leader of the night. Harold Schneider as well. Thank you, Harold. I think Angelo's working tonight. That's why he's not going to swoop in and steal it. So Silent by Deadly will be the winner. Look at that. The opportunity for someone else tonight. Now, so. Oh, yeah. I hope Angelo's doing all right on the roads. It is snowing pretty hard out there. I just took a look at my car 10 minutes ago. Well, not 10 minutes ago because I was here, but maybe an hour ago, you know, before the show, whatever. And it was like a bunch of snow on my car. I got to go clean off snow tomorrow morning now. What the hell is this?
Have fun.
Yeah,
winter is here.
Yeah, I guess. Goddamn, pal. I don't want to clear off snow. I got to wake up early tomorrow morning. I got to go looking for a Dominic Mysterio action figure. I'm very busy. Got to find that Dominic Mysterio and a Damian Priest.
There's no Black Friday big deals that you made, no?
Nah. I mean, what do you mean, did I make deals for Black Friday? I don't, like, the things that I buy usually for myself are never on special type of thing, you know.
Oh, okay. That's too bad.
But it's not like things are easier to find on Black Friday. It's just that the things that you can find are cheaper. Bought my son a new sweatsuit for 50% off at Adidas. 50% off. Everything is 50% off there, which is pretty good. That's a good deal. Site-wide, 50% off. Good God almighty. Black Friday. Gotta love it. All right. That's it. We're done. I got some other things here. I got some things that I did just purchase, but I can't talk about them. So. All right. You know, gifts. Hanukkah's coming up. Christmas is coming up. I got to be quiet about the things that I've purchased. John, trying to get me to reveal my sources. Okay. I'll be back here Monday night after Raw to talk about Raw. And it'll be Hanukkah at that point. So I'll be celebrating, you know. I'll have some latkes with me, hopefully. I know I got a Hanukkah dinner next. I think my dad invited me to have to do a Hanukkah dinner on Wednesday, but that can't be right. Wednesday?
Oh, that could be a conflict.
That's a dynamite night. And he invited. It's like 6 o'clock. I can't do that. Tuesday. I'd rather Tuesday, not Wednesday. Tuesday is no show. Wednesday night, like, I don't want to do a big Hanukkah dinner on Wednesday night. Let's do it on Tuesday. I got to talk to my dad.
Well, I guess stay tuned for
this.
Why
am I talking about this? This show's over, okay? Like the video, subscribe to the channel, do the things. Happy Hanukkah on Sunday for all my friends celebrating. And, of course, happy Thanksgiving for all my American friends. I hope you guys had a good one and are still celebrating and enjoying your turkey and turkey sandwiches and so on. And
survive Black Friday.
Man, if you are an American Jew, this is a gigantic weekend, right? If you're an American Jew, you got Thanksgiving on Thursday and then Black Friday and then, and Hanukkah on Sunday. Like, massive weekend for my American Jews. So, shout out to all my Jews south of the border. And, John, happy Hanukkah. And I will talk to you again on Wednesday night after Dynamite. And I will be back here talking to all of you with my brother, fellow Jew, on Monday night after Raw. Okay? And
I hope so.
And that's it. I think that's all we have. Okay? Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you. And I'll see you again on Monday. Okay?